So we'll skip the intro. You shouldn't need that because I'll have the verses on the screen, but if you prefer to read it from there, that's perfectly fine. I started off by saying, you know, looking at who was sick, you know, people had been to hospital, and we found that someone had been to hospital because they accidentally ate their mother's heart attack preventative pills or something. Had to go to hospital, get their stomach pumped, and then, you know, Paul's appendix burst last year, so we heard about that story. And we know a lot about stories these days where people go to the hospital and they get healed from cancer or they get a hip replacement or those sort of things, okay? But people don't usually get healed from paralysis, right? Yeah, this is a story of someone who's been paralyzed and they're miraculously cured. There's something special about that. And I suppose I wanted people to understand that, you know, a lot of us, we've read the Bible before, we've heard 100 times about how Jesus healed this person and cured that leper and made this person who blind could see again and all these special things. And we just think, oh yeah, that's just what Jesus did. But I want us to sort of remember that this is special, right? This is a man who hasn't walked for a very long time and he healed people. So that was the sort of the background behind the story. The second background was we read at the start. We read that a lot of people were crowding around Jesus. So if we read verse 1 and 2, it says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. So many gathered there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them." Now, if you weren't last week, we did the first half of Mark, and that sort of explained John the Baptist was sort of introducing who Jesus was and what Jesus was going to do. But suddenly we're in chapter 2, and we're like, hang on, why did Jesus have a crowd coming? That's because in the second half of Mark, chapter 1, we saw that Jesus healed a man who was a leper, and he healed many who were sick and cast out demons, okay? So that explains why there is so many people outside the door. There wasn't even room left. Okay, so my first point on the page is Jesus came to heal the sick. So if you look at verse 3 in the Bible, we've got, "So men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on." Back then, roofs were made of most likely mud, so that's obviously how they were able to get through. It wasn't, you know, like our concrete roofs today that you'd have to drill through or bash through with some sort of heavy machinery. It would have been a mud roof, but they still would have had to get through, right? This was a lot of effort that would have been required by these people. And I've got a bit of a picture there if you want to have maybe a bit of an idea as to, you know, what they did and how they got through. But there's a lot of effort, right? There's a lot of effort being done by these friends who are bringing this man to Jesus. There's something special about Jesus that these people are going to all this effort. Okay, so we'll look at verse 5. So when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" See, Jesus says your sins are forgiven, okay? And this is a bit of a hint of what Jesus is here to do, right? He's been healing people, and he's been doing that, and then this man's been brought to him, but instead of healing the person first, he says your sins are forgiven. This is sort of a bit of a hint, right? The way that Mark writes his gospel, he's always hinting at what's going on. Mark doesn't tell us exactly what's going on, right? He's not saying, "Oh, look, by the way, this is what Jesus means, or this is what Jesus is doing." He just gives subtle hints along the way, and the hints get less and less subtle as time goes on. So Jesus here is sort of explaining how he's come to forgive people their sins. Now, what do the teachers of the law say? They say, hang on a minute, forgiving sins, only God can forgive sins. And if you're saying you're forgiving sins, that means you are saying you are equal to God. And well, you're obviously not God, so that's blasphemy. And they didn't say it there, but we know the background of this of blasphemy from Leviticus 24:10-23, that the punishment for blasphemy is death, right? No one should try and say that they are God, or they are like God. And yet, so they're 100% correct, right? If an normal person said that, they'd be blasphemy. So what does Jesus say? You know, Jesus made this claim, right? He's saying, okay, I'm saying I'm God, right? He's not saying it in those words, but by saying I'm forgiving you your sins, he's effectively saying I am God, okay? Just not in those words. And they all know that, right? Not like people today. You walked outside and said to someone, oh, your sins are forgiven. They're not going to say, you're blaspheming. You're saying you're God. They don't care what you say, right? But back then, the Jewish people were very serious about this, okay? You didn't pretend you were God. That was a very bad thing to do. So Jesus is saying this, everyone knows that he's saying he's God. What's he going to do about it? Well, the problem is, Jesus can't prove that he's forgiven this man's sins. Can you, right? I can say it to Harry right now, Harry, your sins are forgiven. Now, I can't prove that I've done that, and Harry can't disprove that I've forgiven his sins, because you can't see that. There's nothing to see. So what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus knows what they're thinking, so he gives them the proof that they're after. But he still can't prove that. But he can't prove that he's forgiven the sins. We'll read on in verse 8. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home. See, when Jesus says, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and go home, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. See, back to what I was saying before, Jesus said, I forgive you your sins, but he can't prove that. So what he does do is instead he does something that he can prove. He uses another miraculous sign by healing the man. He's using an analogy here to prove that he is God. Okay, so looking at the logic on the screen, I've got it up there. The logic is, since Jesus can do the visible miracle in healing the paralytic, this is therefore evidence that he has the powerful to do the invisible miracle, which is to forgive sins. So it happens on two amazing levels. We read on. Verse 13, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, take up your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Okay, that's the first point. My second point is, Jesus came to heal the sick. And I use sick here in inverted commas, because if you look through this passage, there's a few times when it uses the word sick or sinners in inverted commas. And obviously, if not that confident on the background behind this, in English we use inverted commas around something if we're using the word, but we're not using the true meaning of the word. Okay. Now, unfortunately, I don't have time to talk about it, but in a very, 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 very quick summary of the second part, we look at Jesus calling Levi, and he has dinner with these guys, and the Pharisees are going, hang on a minute, Jesus, you're not supposed to associate with these people. These people are sinners. These people are tax collectors. They're bad people. You're not allowed to be with them. But then we realize, why is the Pharisees doing that? See, in the Bible, it says that you are to distinguish between clean and unclean people, okay? If you don't do that, you are making yourself unclean. But it's not, what Jesus is doing isn't actually doing the wrong thing. But the Pharisees, they interpret rules and they make up extra rules to help us follow the rules. Okay? So, for example, I gave an example of, one example might be, the rule is do your homework. Okay? So your mum might say, well, you have to do your homework as soon as you get home from school. Or you have to do your homework before you watch TV. Or you can't play with your friends until you've done your homework, right? So they're extra rules. But your teacher doesn't care if you've watched TV. Your teacher doesn't care if you play with your friends. All your teacher cares about is, did you do your homework, right? And that's the same thing when it comes here. God just wants us to be holy. The Pharisees are making up lots of extra rules to try and make themselves, try and keep them holy. But what they do is they make those rules equal to the original rules. So when the Pharisees see Jesus with these you know, bad people, these sinners, they're saying he's breaking God's rules. Okay, and that's the significance about the Pharisees being here telling off Jesus. Jesus goes on in verses 16 and 17 to say verse 17, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He's sort of saying to them subtly, look, you guys think you're righteous? I'm not here for you. I'm here for the sick. I'm here for sinners. And Jesus is sort of subtly saying, look, I'm here for just sinners. I'm not really here for you. But he's sort of saying he is here for them because they too are sinners. Just because they don't think they're sinners, because they think the other people in the room are sinners. Well, in fact, you guys also are the sinners. But you have to admit that you're sick before Jesus can heal you. Okay? So the summary was, Jesus came to the earth not just to heal people, even though that was what he came to do. He didn't just come to teach, and didn't just come to cast out demons. Even though he did come to do those things were all pointing to the fact that he was God. And as God, he came to forgive sins, and how he forgave our sins was by dying on the cross. Very quick summary, very quick in a nutshell, but that's the general gist of today's story.